The EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal Community, is tight-knit. When one of their own is hurt, an alarm goes out. Brian Kastner, an Iraq war vet, learns that his friend and EOD brother Matt has been killed in an IED in Afghanistan. He goes to console Matt's widow, but also begins a personal investigation. Is the bomb maker who killed Matt the same man American forces have been hunting since Iraq, known as the Engineer? All the ways we kill and die, an elegy for a fallen comrade and the hunt for his killer, is a nonfiction military thriller in which Brian Kastner takes us inside the manhunt for this elusive figure. Brian Kastner is the author of the acclaimed memoir, The Long Walk, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
At what point did you know you wanted to write about this story and write about this search?
Yeah, you know, that's a question I've actually been regularly asked myself, because I started writing this book even before The Long Walk came out. Just a little timeline. I was done editing The Long Walk, and then Matt Schwartz died January 5th, 2012, and The Long Walk didn't come out until the summer of 2012. And I guess I was in the habit that things happened to me and I would write them down, and to make sense of these things, you know, just for myself, I would write them down, except now people seem to want to read them since I had this memoir coming out.
Right.
But it took me a while to write it in a way that made sense, I guess, for an overall book. It took me a while to see how Matt's death and this idea of an investigation fit into all the other things that I was trying to write about when it came to Afghanistan. Because, of course, you know, in the book I interview drone pilots and analysts and contractors and interrogators and a lot of folks to try to tell this story of, you know, it's not just who killed Matt, but what are we doing to find the guy who killed Matt?
And when it comes to that guy who killed Matt, this is a very elusive figure. Give us a sense of why that is the case and why it is such a tough task and job.
Right. So I gave him the name The Engineer, but as I talked to various people in the process, they all have their own name for him. You know, one guy called him the so-called expert. There was another analyst that called him the smart guy. But he was really like an empty hole in the organizational chart. They were a guy that knew must exist, but nobody would talk to him. He was almost a Kaiser Soze figure, you know, from The Usual Suspects. An interrogator told me that when he would interview and interrogate Taliban, that the only name they would never say was this guy, the guy who built the bombs. But if you think through the problem, mostly when we use the term the bomber, we're talking about, you know, everybody but this guy. We're talking about the guy who puts the bomb on the side of the road, or some out-of-work father that gets paid $10 to move some artillery around from here to there but not ask any questions. But at the end of the day, there is a few people, probably less than a dozen, who really know how the improvised explosive devices work, and they travel around like contractors to the various cells in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria, and they teach the local armed units, hey, here's how you build a bomb, and here's how you use it, and this is the button to push. And even in the government, you know, the FBI had on their wanted poster an Al-Qaeda bomb maker, and they used the wrong photo for years. It's really, this guy is really in the shadows because, you know, he doesn't issue fatwas, he doesn't do promotional videos, he doesn't grant interviews. He stays in the shadows and travels around like a trainer.
Was it possible that the bomb maker that you had named the engineer was not responsible for the killing of Matt?
Absolutely. And I guess, and in the book, I try to be clear that the engineer in some ways is a title for, like I said, maybe less than a dozen folks. And whether it was any particular, you know, I realized at a certain point that if I actually knew his name, that it was, you know, whatever. I don't know, how much did that actually matter? I was trying to find, you know, there's so little clarity in the war. what I was trying to explore is this idea that we fight an individual war now, the individualization of it, meaning we don't try to kill our way out of Afghanistan, Iraq, or Syria. We actually try to avoid killing the average foot soldiers as much as possible, as Donald Rumsfeld said, that actually makes more terrorists rather than eliminates them. So what we try to do is hit these very specific cell leaders, and we really target individuals. And so the very idea that in today's war, I could even ask who killed Matt, and that there was a legitimate answer to that question, that's not something we would have been able to ask in any previous war. And so I tried to tell the story of, well, how do we even search for this guy, and what are the challenges in identifying him?
Brian Kastner is the author of the new book, All the Ways We Kill and Die, An Elegy for a Fallen Comrade and the Hunt for His Killer. You do make an important point in the book, and a really interesting one, which is that there is this change in warfare since Iraq where it does become very individualized, as it also becomes very high-tech.
Right, and one thing feeds the other. Because we keep these biometrics databases of fingerprints and iris scans and photos, when we there's a degree of specificity that we expect that was never possible before. So if you pick up a bomb fragment, the idea is somebody takes apart a bomb, one of our bomb techs does, and they send it to a lab and they look for fingerprints, and then they identify, well, this piece of tape was touched by this guy, and we know who this is, and we enrolled him in our system, as they call it, and we know that he applied for a job in Kunduz 2 years ago, and now we can actually go find the guy. And maybe we don't even want that guy. Maybe we want to ask him questions and work our way up the chain, ultimately getting to this engineer. So the technology allows that. The technology also allows us to, of course, fly Predator drones from thousands of miles away to look for these people. And yet at the same time, the amputation rates of bomb techs and others during the surge in Afghanistan was equal to the Vietnam War in a very bloody summer in the worst of the surge. And that's because at the end of the day, we still do need people with that boots on the ground cliche that are walking up to this device or walking through the village and trying to interview people. And you can't do everything from a distance. And there's still more to war than databases and drones, no matter how much we wish it weren't.
And meanwhile, as your hunt goes on for the killer, the other side is also selecting its targets and is hunting as well.
That's right. I mean, the one way I began to think of this is there's a certain amount of David and Goliath send your champion into battle. Like, that style of warfare from a few thousand years ago hasn't really gone away. And our champion is maybe the robots, and their champion is the improvised explosive device. But we realized at a certain point, that we can't, like I said, we can't kill our way out of either country. And so we try to avoid killing as many average Iraqis as we can. But they also realize they could blow up robots all day long, and they could blow up our trucks all day long. And at a certain point, they could even kill our average soldiers all day long. And America wasn't really paying attention. The way we pay attention is by very... every target had a specific purpose. Either it was high profile, either the idea is that they're killing a politician or a general or one of these green on blue attacks in Afghanistan, or there was real practical utility. It makes more sense for them to kill a special forces soldier or a bomb tech like my friend Matt Schwartz than it does the average soldier just in a utilitarian, sort of way. And I think we've seen the end result of that is ISIS today. When it wants to attack America, it takes James Foley hostage and cuts his head off on a video, and that's maybe the ultimate example of it, is where you have, James Foley was the unwitting champion, but that's the only way that we pay attention, is when something, a real individual attack like that happens.
So I just want to fully explore what you just mentioned as to why Matt Schwartz was a target.
Right. So there was one of the big parts of the investigation of the book is this idea that some guys are just in the bad, men and women, our soldiers are in the wrong place at the wrong time, and they're killed accidentally, or, you know, bad luck happens in a war. But then there's also plenty of these targeted attacks. And so it was really important for me to try to determine, did Matt die in the fog of war, or was someone really trying to kill him? And that's also, again, that's the kind of thing that can happen in a war today that didn't used to. And in Matt's case, not to give away the end of the book, but in Matt's case, you know, we discovered that his vehicle was specifically targeted, and several of his security vehicles that he was with had actually passed over the device in the time before he got there, and that the spotter and the individuals using the device, you know, were waiting for Matt and his team as opposed to other people. And that's, unfortunately, you know, Matt being a dear friend, that's, I don't want to make it a statistic, but it is emblematic of how wars are fought now.
So as we continue to fight these wars, what should the takeaway, or what would you like the takeaway to be for us?
What I try to do is I really try to write a Rorschach test and say, here's as much of the information as I can present and as much of the truth as I could come to it. And I've discovered readers are going to draw their own conclusions and sometimes draw opposite conclusions. But I think the challenge is it is very easy in America in 2016. If you don't want to pay attention to the war, you don't have to. We're all in a bubble. And you can watch reality TV shows, or, you know, the presidential race is a reality TV show. You can pay attention to some things, not others. And I would at least like to, you know, communicate, here are the things that are happening in your name. We've been at war in Afghanistan for 15 years. Soldiers are still dying. And this is an example of how much war is different. So I guess education and insight and empathy and appreciation is my ultimate goal, rather than any, you know, I don't, if I knew what the specific policy was that should change, I guess I would have written a different kind of book.
Brian Kastner is the author of the memoir, The Long Walk, an EOD officer in the Air Force who commanded bomb disposal units in Iraq and subsequently trained soldiers prior to their tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. He is now a writer and journalist. His new book, All the Ways We Kill and Die, an elegy for a fallen comrade and the hunt for his killer. Brian Kastner, a great pleasure to have you on the program this morning. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book, All the Ways We Kill and Die. The book is published by Arcade. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.